Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, October 1st, 2025, it feels less like just another day and more like a high-speed collision report in the world of AI.
Yeah.
We've got this massive stack of sources. It's a real mix. Viral consumer tech launches, some pretty big regulatory bombshells coming out of California, and, you know, real geopolitical turbulence that's actually hitting supply chains, research labs.
Right.
So our mission, as always, is to pull out the most important insights from all this so you, the learner, know exactly what this really rapid kind of chaotic shift means right now.
And what's fascinating here is exactly that high-speed collision you mentioned. I mean, we're watching this sheer velocity mismatch play out in real time.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, you've got innovation hitting the market at, well, almost warp speed. Amazing new video generation tools, smarter home assistants, creating genuinely new capabilities.
Yeah.
But then simultaneously, you have these major foundational forces, things like tariffs, antitrust actions, and yeah, the federal government shut down. They're actively slowing down the essential groundwork.
What kind of groundwork?
Things like AI standards development, risk management, long-term funding. It's like innovation is just outpacing our ability to govern it, you know?
Okay, so let's start where that velocity feels highest.
Hmm.
The consumer front. OpenAI just dropped Sora 2. And honestly, it feels like you almost have to forget what you knew about earlier video models.
It's a big leap.
Huge improvements, they say, in object physics. It's generating longer outputs now, like 5 to 10 seconds. And it can handle really complex scene changes, even stylistic shifts within one clip.
And this is key. It now includes synchronized audio and dialogue generation.
Right.
This isn't just that sort of silent, slightly floaty video anymore. The model can apparently generate realistic dialogue, environmental sound effects, and have them sync up perfectly with what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
The quality leap seems, well, profound. It makes that whole uncanny valley feel suddenly a lot smaller.
Okay, but here's where it gets, I think, really interesting. The social application side of things.
Mm-hmm.
They've apparently built this whole ecosystem around a feature they're calling cameos.
Right, the cameos.
This lets users, you know, record their own likeness, stick it into these AI-generated scenes, and create really highly personalized content. Some analysts are already calling this a potentially huge viral memetic tool.
But there's a massive caveat there, isn't there? The sources really highlight this. We have to wait and see if it overcomes what people are calling the slop factor.
Explain that, the slop factor.
Yeah, it's that kind of initial flood, you know, the glut of low quality, sometimes weird or just fundamentally unusable outputs that you always get when a new generative platform launches.
Okay.
Is the content actually going to be high enough quality to stick around? Or is the novelty just going to drown in all that initial noise? That's the big question.
That makes sense. Will people actually use it beyond the first week?
Exactly. But let's think about the societal implication of this personalized viral push for a second.
Yeah.
Cameos means every single user is now a potential source of really convincing personalized misinformation or disinformation.
Wow.
Sora 2 basically turns content attribution into this incredibly complicated challenge overnight. It forces us constantly to question if what we're seeing is real or if it's just an AI reflection of the user, you know?
Mm.
This isn't just entertainment anymore. It feels like a massive shift in digital trust.
Okay, so if hyperviral creativity is one extreme here, Google seems to be betting hard on the other. Just sheer, almost boring reliability.
Right.
Let's dive into Gemini for Home. This looks like a completely revamped application, integrating their Gemini intelligence directly. Their focus seems to be pure utility and speed.
Yeah, the numbers they're quoting are pretty significant. Loads camera feeds 70% faster and experiences 80% fewer crashes. It's all about improved reliability.
Right. Less frustration.
But the intelligence part is really what you're paying for, supposedly. Mm. Gemini now interprets those live video streams from your connected cameras. Well, it offers these AI-enhanced notifications. So instead of just motion detected, you might get an activity description like a dog jumped on couch.
Okay, that's actually useful.
Yeah. And there's also this thing called the Home Brief tool, which supposedly summarizes everything that happened while you were out, like a little digest of your home's activity.
But wait, if Google is still charging the same price for the subscription as the old Nest subs,
yeah,
are these new AI features really a big win for the consumer? Or is it just, you know, a necessary defensive move to keep up with Amazon, who's also pushing AI hard?
Well, it's probably a bit of both, isn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like a required upgrade just to meet current expectations. But for the consumer, I mean, you are getting genuine interpretation features instead of just cloud storage for video clips.
Correct.
That shift from passive storage to active AI insight, that's the value proposition they're clearly pushing. Okay.
Meanwhile, Amazon isn't standing still. They're pushing hard with Alexa plus Frey, rolling it out across their entire product line. We're talking Echo devices, Ring cameras, Fire TVs, even Kindle readers.
Right, and Alexa Plus is supposed to handle more natural conversations, complete, complex, multi-step web tasks on its own.
Yeah, autonomously.
The practical applications seem immediately useful, too. You've got Alexa Plus greetings on Ring cameras acting like an AI door attendant, mm-hmm. plus the improved familiar faces recognition, and Kindles are getting AI-powered note-taking.
Okay, those are practical steps. Tangible improvements.
Definitely. But the analysis we're seeing still notes that while these are, you know, useful integrations, the overall hardware ecosystem still feels like it's waiting for that true breakout AI integration.
What do they mean by that?
Something that fundamentally changes how you interact with the physical device itself, not just the software running inside it. We're not quite there yet, it seems.
Got it. Okay, so that's the consumer side racing ahead.
Yeah.
But if consumer tech is focused on flashy new features, the legal and financial ecosystems supporting AI, well, they seem to be absolutely exploding.
Yeah, the money is pouring in. Look at legal AI startup Eve. Just hit a $1 billion valuation after a $103 million Series B funding round.
$1 billion for legal tech.
It's a huge signal that what you might call critical infrastructure is now fully on the venture capital radar. And Eve's platform is very specific. It focuses on plaintiff side law.
Okay.
Automating pretty much everything from case intake and legal research to drafting documents and even discovery.
Wait, I saw a number in the sources. $3.5 billion in recoveries. Their tech helped firms recover that much.
That's the claim. Upward of $3.5 billion in settlements and judgments for their partner firms, including one reported $27 million settlement for just one partner firm last year.
That's not just automation. That sounds more like a legal gold rush enabled by tech. Mm-hmm. How is the traditional legal world even absorbing that kind of financial disruption?
Well, they really have no choice but to absorb it, do they?
It's not.
When you see Eve joining these other giants like Harvey, which hit a $5 billion valuation back in June, and Filevine, valued at $3 billion, it tells you something massive is happening.
Which
legal work isn't just getting automated. It's becoming this hyper-efficient, venture-backed commodity. I mean, legal tech investments reached $2.4 billion this year alone. The ROI seems immediate and huge.
Okay, so as all this money flows in, the other side of that collision we talked about, the governance side, is also moving fast. Too fast.
Maybe. Well, California just passed the country's first law aimed specifically at frontier AI systems. Safety and transparency are the goals. It's called the Transparency in Frontier Artificial Intelligence Act, or TFAIA.
Right. TFAIA. Let's dissect that. What are the core mandates of this law?
It's actually highly specific. It sets out mandatory requirements for AI developers. They have to disclose safety incidents. There are demands for transparency in how the models are designed. And it requires installing specific guardrails during the development of these frontier AI systems before they get released.
Mm.
And California is being very explicit here. They're aiming to set a national precedent, offer a blueprint for other states to potentially follow.
And we should also briefly mention the California AI Child Protection Bill that passed the State House. Now just waiting for the governor's signature. The aim there is preventing adolescent users from accessing potentially harmful chatbots.
Right. But that one is facing some pretty intense pushback.
From the industry.
Yeah. The concern, voiced publicly by groups like the Computer and Communications Industry Association, is basically twofold. One, these restrictions will disadvantage California companies. Standard argument.
Okay.
But more critically, they argue that banning the use of minors' data for training could actually degrade the overall availability and quality of general purpose AI models for everyone.
How so?
The suggestion is that restricting the training data like that leads to less robust, maybe even less safe models in the long run. It's a complex trade-off.
Definitely sounds like one. Okay, so that's regulatory conflict. But we also have antitrust action adding friction to the system. Apple just filed a motion to dismiss that antitrust lawsuit brought by xAI and xTech.
Yeah, they're arguing the claim of some illegal scheme to control the AI market is basically just pure speculation.
What's their defense strategy look like?
According to the sources, it's quite strategic. They're stating that their partnership with OpenAI is just a starting point.
Okay.
And crucially, they're arguing that antitrust laws don't compel the company to work with every available AI chatbot out there. They're citing necessary considerations like quality, safety, and technical feasibility before they integrate anything.
So framing it as a quality control issue, not a monopoly grab.
Exactly. It's about curation and user experience, is the message.
All right, shifting gears slightly, but still in this legal policy realm, pay attention to this Meta policy shift. It's effective December 16th, and it impacts pretty much everyone using their platforms globally.
This is a big one. Meta will start using information from your interactions with Meta AI to deliver targeted ads.
And this goes beyond just chatbot text.
Oh, yeah. It's a crucial data policy expansion. It extends beyond just conversations to include things like voice recordings and visuals captured by the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses.
Wow.
And importantly, also the Vibes video feed, which are their sort of experimental visual and video data streams.
Is there an opt-out?
Crucially, no. There's no option to opt out of this data collection for ad targeting. However, the policy does have some scope limitations.
Like what?
It doesn't apply in the UK, the European Union, or South Korea. And they state it excludes sensitive topics like health or politics from being used for targeting. But still, it's a significant expansion of data use.
Definitely something to watch. Okay, now let's pivot hard into the macro environment, which today feels defined by instability.
Yeah, headwinds are picking up.
Starting with the U.S. robotics industry, reports say they're feeling unsettled by the threat of new tariffs. The Commerce Department launched a Section 232 investigation.
Right, into robotics and industrial machinery imports. The justification is national security purposes.
What kind of goods are we talking about?
It affects a wide range of programmable systems, industrial cutting tools, welding tools, the kind of automation used heavily in manufacturing.
And what's the impact looking like?
Analysts are reporting that higher prices, just driven by the threat of these potential tariffs, are already slowing demand. It's delaying large projects,
Such as.
including significant investments in electric vehicle production, which rely heavily on these kinds of automated manufacturing lines.
And here's the paradox, right? It seems like it means higher costs for the companies buying the robots, but without necessarily benefiting local production much.
That's exactly the issue highlighted. The U.S. apparently doesn't have domestic robot manufacturers capable of producing complete systems at the scale needed.
So tariffs just mean buyers face higher costs and project delays. They can't just easily switch to a local alternative because it doesn't really exist at scale.
Precisely, especially when, as the sources note, comparable Chinese robotic products are available at like half to even a third of the price of standard robotics from other global competitors.
So it's a geopolitical move, but it immediately hits the pocketbook of manufacturers and doesn't really secure the supply chain, at least not in the short term.
That seems to be the analysis, yeah. It r raises big questions about supply chain strategy versus immediate economic impact.
Okay, now for perhaps the most immediate headwind hitting today, the federal government shutdown and its specific widespread impact on AI development.
Yeah, this is hitting hard. Non-essential personnel are furloughed across many agencies, and that brings internal federal research to a sudden halt in lots of places.
Where is this disruption most felt?
Well, the research pause is highly disruptive across the board. Agencies like the National Science Foundation, NSF, and NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, they're severely limited right now.
And this is important because
crucially, NIST's foundational work on the AI risk management framework is paused. That framework is meant to guide responsible AI implementation across the country, both in government and industry.
Wow. So it's almost ironic. The faster the AI race goes out in Silicon Valley, the more we seem to actively hobble the internal government forces meant to make it safe and standardized.
It's a stark contrast.
But given how slowly Congress moves, even when it is funded, is NIST's temporary pause really the biggest threat here? Or is the real damage already done by the chronic lack of funding certainty for these agencies?
That's a fair question. The temporary pause is critical because it breaks momentum on standards development at a really pivotal time. Things are moving so fast elsewhere.
Right.
But you're right, the deeper problem is arguably the funding pipeline itself. Grant reviews and awards for external research halted.
Ah.
This cuts off the pipeline for future AI innovation, and it can cause immediate critical financial strain on universities and private labs that rely on that federal funding, which now just can't be processed.
And I assume there's a national security angle here, too.
Absolutely. Reduce staff at CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency that weakens the nation's defense against cyber threats. And this is happening just as AI-driven threats are becoming more sophisticated.
Mm.
Plus, major defense agency initiatives, like those run through DARPA, they get slowed down too, just by stalled support functions, contracting, things like that.
So to sum up the shutdown's impact on AI.
In short, it's actively pausing critical standards development. It's halting the future funding stream for innovation. And it's immediately weakening the nation's cyber defenses, all at the very moment global AI competition and geopolitical instability are escalating. It's not ideal timing.
Understatement. Okay, let's run through some quick hits now. Other strategy and product announcements from today. Microsoft.
Right. Microsoft is pushing aggressively into the enterprise space. They're introducing agent mode in Excel and Word, plus a new Office agent in Copilot.
And the idea there is?
Focused on autonomously generating complex stuff, spreadsheets, documents, presentations, just via text prompts, making Copilot much more proactive.
Okay. Future vision stuff. Elon Musk.
Ah, yes. Elon Musk announced that xAI is building something called Grokipedia. Described in typical fashion as a massive improvement over Wikipedia.
Of course.
And apparently a foundational step toward understanding the universe. So, you know, an ambitious, if slightly vague, goal there.
Right. Corporate moves. Meta made an acquisition.
Yeah, Meta acquired chip startup Revos. This looks like a move to accelerate their own internal AI chip development.
Right.
Signals a pretty strong strategy to reduce reliance on the big players like NVIDIA for compute power. Build more in-house capability.
Makes sense. And finally, a financial insight. OpenAI.
Yeah, just a snapshot of the business reality defining this whole race. OpenAI reportedly generated about $4.3 billion in revenue during the first half of 2025.
Pretty good.
But they also burned through $2.5 billion on research and compute costs during that same period.
Wow, that's a massive burn rate.
It really illustrates exactly why that legal AI space we talked about is suddenly so attractive to investors, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, legal AI offers immediate, apparently high-margin efficiency gains compared to the super high-cost, long-term research and development needed for these huge foundational models like OpenAI is building. Uh-huh. Different risk profiles.
Got it. Okay, so wrapping this all up, what does this whirlwind of a day mean for you, the listener? The landscape today feels defined by this extreme friction.
Yeah, it really does.
Consumers are getting these incredible new tools that push the boundaries of creative content. Sora 2, the smarter Alexa, plus really exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the foundational infrastructure, things like legal trust, national security, reliable funding for research, it's simultaneously being challenged by complex new regulations, antitrust scrutiny, and just broad macro instability like this government shutdown.
So considering that unprecedented surge we saw in legal AI valuations, which now represent billions going into critical infrastructure investment, alongside these powerful new highly personalized capabilities in viral video generation and creative content,
right,
we're left with a final thought, maybe a question for you to ponder. Which vertical do you think will see the most disruptive growth in the immediate future? Is it creative content, where the growth is fast, maybe viral, potentially chaotic?
Right.
Or is it critical infrastructure like legal and finance, where the financial returns seem more immediate and perhaps more secure right now? Where's the biggest disruption coming next?
Something to think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into today's sources. We'll talk to you next time.